This is the week ahead. A look at some of the stories that Bloomberg editors are watching for the coming week.
This is Week Ahead editor Greg Miles. In the coming week, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke and ECB President Mario Draghi give public addresses that may shed light on their future plans. The G7 meets in London to discuss the state of the global economy. Malaysia and Pakistan will elect new governments. And the U.S. Congress may make progress on key legislation. Now, with me here to talk about these developments in the nation's capital is Mark Silva, the Deputy Managing Editor of Bloomberg News in Washington. Mark, welcome.
Thank you.
Mark, let's start off with South Korea. South Korea's president meets with President Obama at the White House, this 2 months after North Korea tested a nuclear weapon. What can we expect from this discussion?
Well, I think we can expect something that is more globally focused than simply Korea. We've gone through a period of time in which the threats emanating from North Korea have subsided somewhat, yet persist. At the same time, there's the whole question of the so-called red line in Syria that may have been crossed by the use of chemical weapons. And it begs the bigger question of what the administration does, having declared a red line. What are the consequences? And in the world, South Korea, Korea among nations, are watching to see, you know, what is behind the administration's threats and what are the consequences for violating, warned actions.
Of course, the tone of these talks certainly won't be a help by North Korea deciding to sentence an American this week to 15 years of hard labor in prison for alleged, you know, hostile acts. Now, let's get over to Congress on Capitol Hill. The U.S. Senate is likely to approve a bill that allows states to impose taxes on Internet sales, specifically on sales by out-of-state retailers. Does this Internet bill have any chance of passing the House, you know, if it gets to the Senate?
Well, I suspect that this one is somewhat different in terms of, you know, the reluctance to talk about taxes. This goes to a question of state revenues, which are suffering, you know, greatly in the last couple of years. And states are viewing this as a means of recouping, you know, taxes that are due them. A lot of these companies, which used to be local, actually have installations, you know, shipping centers in many states now, and are no longer sort of the remote outposts that they once were. And there's, you know, billions of dollars of goods being sold without taxation in states that are very dependent on sales tax revenue. So I suspect that the need of state governments to balance their budgets could be a more convincing argument than the one that, you know, Republicans don't like to talk about new taxes.
So as we say in this case, all politics really is local, and if you're a congressman or a senator, you do want to be known for helping out your local constituency as far as, you know, tax revenues and jobs, et cetera.
Right.
Well, let's get to immigration, one of the most contentious issues in Congress. The Senate Judiciary Committee in the coming week, they'll begin considering amendments to its core immigration bill. Now, realistically, again, is there any chance that an immigration bill will be approved by both the House and the Senate this year?
Well, that both is a good word, because it looks like there's great momentum within the Senate itself. A bipartisan group of senators, four Republicans, four Democrats, are behind what's moving now, and the Senate largely appears receptive to what they're talking about. The question becomes the House, which is Republican run, obviously, and in which there's a much deeper strain of resentment and sentiment about what to do with the 11 million undocumented immigrants already in the U.S. And the catchword there is amnesty. People believe that awarding legal rights to people who are here illegally amounts to some kind of amnesty. And so bridging that question is the key. And I think the solution lies in the fact that the Republican Party is very much aware that this is an issue that goes straight to the heart of its ability to reengage with the Hispanic constituency that it has lost.
And get reelected.
Yeah, 71% of Hispanic voters went with Barack Obama in November. And the Republican Party cannot win a national election with numbers like that going forward.
And how has the Boston Marathon bombings changed the dynamics of this debate, you know,
Interestingly, I think the sponsors were very effective in quickly turning the conversation on that, whereas it could have become a problem in that, you know, you had two Russian immigrants involved in this bombing. coming. The sponsors of the bill quickly pivoted to say that, look, this just shows that we need to bolster our security, and that includes knowing who's here. And they argue that with 11 million undocumented people in the country, that's not a safe and sound situation, that the government would be better off knowing who's here having stricter border controls. And they've used it to sort of undermine, or not, to underscore the need for what they're doing. And I think they've been fairly effective in that regard.
Very interesting. You know, as we just noted, Republicans and Democrats seem to be at least on the edges trying to cooperate on an immigration bill, at least making some muted progress. Has the level of partisan acrimony between the Republicans and Democrats lessened at all since the president's inauguration, or was just the acrimony the same but more polite?
Yeah, I don't think it's lessened much at all. I think the immigration bill has the appearance of one big thing that is moving, and people sort of like the idea of progress on anything. But
well, if you set the bar low enough, I mean, you could have some progress.
Yeah, but beyond that, there are still deep divisions and resentment and mistrust between the White House and Republican leaders and vice versa. And, you know, the president was joking the other night at the White House Correspondents Association that he would never drink with Mitch McConnell. But it was one of those sort of telling jokes that wasn't all that funny. And it goes to the sort of distance that exists between the White House and Republican leaders, and it's a personal thing.
And that also gets to the point that we're only a few months into this second term for Obama. Are there any areas where the president and Congress might be able to get some things done this year or next year that didn't appear possible, you know, when we look back in November after the acrimony of the election, or even in January?
The immigration bill is the primary one. And again, this goes to the self-interest of the Republican Party in their next national election. That's a big one. It'll become a vehicle for other things that people want to attach to it, which could be problematic. But there's also the ongoing budget negotiation, and the White House is trying to revive a conversation about what to do about the deficit and entitlement programs and the rest, and there's a possibility that as more is learned of the effects of budget sequestration and the furloughs and the services and, you know, the problem we saw with the FAA that was quickly addressed, as more of that is digested and its impact on the economy is felt, which is beginning to show in quarterly and monthly reports from labor and commerce, as more of that is digested, I think that the impetus to do something on the budget front will increase.
And it's a difficult line to walk for the Republicans, because many of them, of course, voting with an eye to their constituents, how their constituents are going to vote for them in the 2014 midterm elections.
Right. We're in this lovely window here where something is achievable, and that window starts to close sometime around the fall of this year, because by winter we'll be deep into the next election cycle.
Yeah, I guess you could call that a brief, but perhaps not, you know, a shining moment. Well, Mark, many thanks for joining us again this week. Delighted to have you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, we got to go. You can find the full print version of our Week Ahead on our Bloomberg Terminal at our Top Worldwide page, or at NI Space Global Week. Our podcasts, they're also featured on Bloomberg.com and the Radio Plus Bloomberg app. Have a great week.
The Week Ahead. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.